Many blessings to you all, and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is Acts 19:11-20. Acts chapter 19, verse 11 to 20. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to those who were ill, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, "In the name of the Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out." Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know about, but who are you?" Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. When this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed what they had done. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. My theme for reflection is no magic words when faith is not a formula. No magic words when faith isn't a formula. Years ago, I met a man on a plane who told me that he had memorized over 1,000 Bible verses. Impressive, right? He then said, "So now I am basically guaranteed a spot in heaven." I smiled politely, but inside I wondered, since when did salvation come with a punch card? In Acts 19:11-20, we meet the sons of Sceva, seven enthusiastic, misguided exorcists who try to wield the name of Jesus like a magic spell. They see Paul doing extraordinary things in the name of Christ, and they want in. So they try to cast out a demon by saying, "In the name of the Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out." But the demon isn't impressed. "Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize," it says, "but who are you?" Then things go badly, very badly. Let's just say these men run away bruised and naked, not exactly the victorious end they had in mind. At first glance, it's a cautionary tale about spiritual imposture. But dig deeper, and it's a vivid reminder that the power of Christ is not a tool to be used. It is a relationship to be lived. The name of Jesus is not a password to power. It is a path to surrender. Karl Rahner once said, "The devout Christian of the future will either be a mystic, one who has experienced something, or he will cease to be anything at all." In other words, faith that doesn't come from personal encounter, faith that is just performance, falls flat. This matters deeply as we journey through Lent. The season invites us not just to do spiritual things, but to be spiritually transformed. It is not about ticking off the right prayers or cutting out sugar or posting Lenten devotionals online. It is about allowing Jesus not just into our language, but into our lives, into our habits, our pain, our decisions, and even our discomfort. That's where the traveling light idea comes in. The sons of Sceva wanted to carry power, but not responsibility. They packed the name of Jesus into their spiritual carry-on, but left behind obedience and trust. Lent reminds us to empty our suitcases, to lay down our illusions of control, and to recognize what truly matters. because we brought nothing into this life and we will take nothing with us except love, except relationship, except the imprint Christ leaves on us when we stop trying to use him and start letting him use us. This world does not need more religious performances. It needs humble people walking lightly who know the name of Jesus not as a charm, but as a life source. Lent invites us to live simply so others may simply live, to fast from excess, not to impress God, but to stand with the underfed, the underpaid, and the overlooked, to say, Jesus, take the lead. The revival that broke out in Ephesus was not because people got the technique right. It was because the awe of God overwhelmed their illusions of control. They burned their scrolls, surrendered their magic, and turned their hearts to something real. That's the heart of Lent, letting go of false power so we can be shaped by the real one. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, are there areas in your life where you have been trying to control God instead of allowing God to transform you? What magic formulas or spiritual shortcuts do you need to let go of to embrace a deeper walk with our Lord Jesus Christ? And now our practical exercise for the day. Do a spiritual luggage check. Write down three things, habits, attitudes, possessions you might be carrying that are heavy or unnecessary. Choose one to let go of this week, and in its place, commit to an act of compassion or justice for someone who carries a heavier load than yourself. Lord Jesus, your name is holy, not because it is a tool in our hands, but because it is a life itself. Forgive us when we try to use you instead of letting you use us. Strip away our spiritual clutter and show us what truly matters. Teach us to walk humbly, to live simply, and to trust deeply. May this Lent be more than tradition. May it be transformation. In your name we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.